Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
Listen. Melanie Cole's Health Radio is on now.
My guest today is Dr. Susan Maples. She's a dentist for a long time. So, Dr. Maples, gingivitis, bad breath, is it from our stomachs or is it bacteria in our mouth? First question.
It is definitely bacteria. You're talking about bad breath, you mean, or inflammation in the gums?
Well, so both, because inflammation of the gums can sometimes cause the bad breath, but the gingivitis being the inflammation and it all...
So there are hundreds of bugs living, strains of bugs living in our gut, and we probably have only, we've only identified about 700 to 800 of them in the mouth. I'm sure there are many, many, many more. Billions of bugs individually, but about 700 strains. Some of them are good bugs and some of them are bad bugs for you. And we live pretty well with most of them. But the inflammation in the gums can be some pretty dangerous bugs. And there are a few dangerous bugs that percolate through the, you know, weave their way into the bloodstream, travel around through the body and can wreak havoc with organs in your body and can even cross the fetal placental unit into, infect the fetus, believe it or not. So it can be quite dangerous.
So now how do you even know?
How do you know? How do you know you have gingivitis?
Yeah.
Well, gingivitis is red, puffy, bleeding gums.
Okay, so it's red, puffy, bleeding gums. It hurts.
Yep.
And what causes
it
now?
And it's just one of the. It's one of the most pinnacle signs of pregnancy. A lot of times, people don't even know they're pregnant, but their gums are sensitive, and they can get sensitive gums throughout. So we oftentimes find that pregnancy gingivitis sort of goes hand in hand with pregnancy. It's the body's way of overreacting to the bacteria that's present and causing causing inflammation in the gums. And I'll tell you what's very interesting is in 2012, we found our first case of a stillborn baby from an who died from an oral bacterial infection. And we were able to find that because in the past, we'd always noted that any babies that were born stillborn, and we knew they were infected with bacteria, were we assumed that the bacterial infection was introduced from the colorectal tract or the vaginal canal. And in this particular baby, we were able to identify the bugs that infected the baby through DNA testing of the individual bacteria, and they were only in the mouth. So we were able to positively identify that this particular bacteria, Fusobacterium nucleatum, was not present in those areas and had percolated from the mother's pregnancy gingivitis through her bloodstream, crossing the fetal placental unit, and infected a baby, causing it to be stillborn.
Wow. And what
Isn't
a shame.
That wild?
Is there anything that is, and that's amazing, that connection that you can make there. So what do you tell people? I mean, is brushing and flossing enough? Do we need to rinse with some kind of antibacterial rinses, or what do we do?
Well, the fact is you probably want to be, well, first of all, let me say it's also very much associated with low birth weight and preterm delivery. And one of the things that we want moms to do of childbearing age is to get their gums in really good health, because the evidence shows that to treat a gum infection during pregnancy, we still are putting the body at risk for those bacteria. So it's a matter of carrying good gum health through before you get pregnant. And unfortunately, many people find themselves pregnant without having planned it. So then there's the question of what do I do now to get my act together? And that's probably the biggest time in a woman's life when she's more concerned about her health and what to do about it. So in order to avoid preterm delivery and low birth weight and infecting the fetus, we're talking about half of people with gum inflammation, have preterm delivery, and 57% have low birth weight babies. So in order to avoid that, brushing and flossing diligently, seeing your dentist, and addressing any gum infection that exists prior to pregnancy if possible.
Is it okay for pregnant women to be going to the dentist or getting dental work while they're pregnant? Because some people are afraid to come and see you while they're pregnant.
Absolutely, it's okay. In fact, it's necessary. When we're talking about afraid, we're talking about doing invasive procedures. We don't love to do invasive procedures of any kind on pregnant women, but certainly even if you had like an abscess tooth, the bacteria from the abscess could cause a real problem. So in that case, taking a tooth out or getting a root canal to solve the infection would be much better on the mother's body than not doing something. So again, if there's something that safely can be postponed, your dentist will work with you on that. But getting cleanings and examinations during pregnancy, absolutely.
Okay. I mean, that's so important for women to know, because you must know that sometimes they are a little bit nervous about going to the dentist. And, you know, now what about some of these antibacterial rinses and things?
Well, we have probably the most heavily prescribed antibacterial rinse is chlorhexidine. And I probably would use that judiciously. In other words, just in terms of acute infection, I wouldn't be using that preventatively. We also have been using something called Essential Smiles, which is a rinse from essential oils, which has been very, very helpful for gingivitis. And that, I think, is more safe for preventive. But really, for most of us, eating a well-balanced diet, brushing and flossing, and getting your teeth cleaned regularly, you really don't need an antimicrobial rinse. We're not using an antimicrobial rinse usually for prevention. We're using it generally for treatment of an inflamed or an infected situation.
Dr. Maples, how often do you want people changing their toothbrush? Because when I look at some of the toothbrushes, or I look at my kid's toothbrush and go, ugh, geez, I don't know. And they go see the dentist to, you know, get their checkups and everything, but then they don't seem to change the toothbrush. They get pretty disgusting. Give us a little bit of toothbrush, you know, hygiene.
Etiquette.
Toothbrush etiquette. And where should we store our toothbrush? Because we only have a minute and a half left. But should we stick them in those little toothbrush holdy things or on a towel? Give us
really, if you're concerned about bacteria, you know, accumulation on your toothbrush, you can, you know, just soak it in a little bit of water with a teaspoon of bleach, and that will take care of it. If the toothbrush looks distorted or scrubbed out, you're probably brushing too hard. But I do think it's important to change toothbrushes periodically, especially if you're getting over some sickness and you're not wanting to reinfect yourself. And certainly don't share toothbrushes with your family. People do that, and it's a good way to transfer bacteria back and forth and viruses that you don't want.
Yeah, I mean, some of those little plastic containers you put them in, and it gets a little bit icky looking. And so I always, you know, make my kids really wash them well and keep good track. Mm-hmm. So thank you, Dr. Maples, for the great advice
for
pregnancy-related gingivitis. I know we'll have you on again, because it's always great to have such a knowledgeable dentist on and to help us with our oral health. It's so important, and we're finding out more and more about the importance of oral health in the rest of our health and for our total health. And if you missed any of the great information that we're giving here, you can listen anytime on demand or on the go at radiomd.com. You can share these shows with your friends. You can put them on your Facebook pages and send them around the links, because that's how we all learn together. And that's what this is really about. We're learning with you. So thanks so much for listening. This is Melanie Cole. Stay well and stay tuned.